All right, so the worship songs just wove right into my message this morning. That was really great because we started off by saying, in the good, the bad, and the ugly, he's still good. He's still faithful. He's still with us. And then we sang through the blood of the Lamb and through the word of our testimony that we're going to overcome and see the victory. So as I get started here and move through the message, you'll see how those weave in. So talking about the good and the bad and the ugly, that's how we're starting. So how many of you will agree that our lives include times of difficulty and times of challenge? And then we also have seasons of celebration and we have seasons of exciting things happen. So I was thinking about those two lists, and there's a lot of things we could put in them. So maybe for a difficult time, maybe you lost your job. We've had a lot of that this past couple of years. Maybe you're just having financial challenges. Maybe you're having a health difficulty, and a report didn't come back the way you were hoping it came back. Maybe you have some strained relationships. Maybe you have some broken relationships. Maybe somebody in the last year or two that you cared about passed away. So those are difficult, challenging times. Okay, Miss Nancy has had quite a challenging, difficult time, and I got to see her in the hospital. I got to see her at the house, and yes, she is working her way through that. And we as a body have held her up in prayer. Some of us, those ladies that mentioned, were able to show up and help her through those first couple difficult and challenging days. But we also have days to celebrate, exciting days, right? Maybe you had a birth in your family. Maybe you had a wedding. So we have some lovebirds here in the back, Gloria and Parker. They're engaged in getting married. Woo! And both of them said no, been there, done that. And then they met, and stars and rockets took off. And there they are. Come on. So, yay. Maybe you got a job. Maybe you got a promotion. Maybe those relationships that were separated or strained have been healed. So we have some things to celebrate, don't we? Well, sometimes we don't think about the fact that Jesus and his disciples had both of those kinds of days and seasons as well. So we're going to look at some of those today. They had some challenging times, and they had some times of celebration. So the first one talks about Jesus going into a wilderness. See, that could have been a challenging time for some of us, where things just seem dry. You open the word and you read it, and yeah, it's there, and it's important, but it just doesn't jump off the page at you. And you pray and you think, well, God, it seems like my prayers are only going that far. Okay, right? And things just seem dry to you, and the Lord seems distant. Well, Jesus went into this wilderness. It was dry, it was hot. Sometimes in wilderness seasons, we feel alone. Like there's nobody else that cares or nobody else with us. Well, first of all, the Lord never leaves us, right? But there are always people who care about us. Sometimes they don't know we're going through the difficult times, so they can't even express their love and concern and support. Sometimes we're just hungry, like Jesus was. And to me, that spoke about knowing that you just don't have enough. Sometimes we're going through these trying times and we realize we ourselves do not have enough. So it says here in Matthew 4 that Jesus was led by the Spirit. What? Led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he became hungry. And I stopped and I thought, after the second meal, I would be hungry. It wouldn't take me 40 days and 40 nights to get hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So this difficult season wasn't just one day or 2 days. Sometimes we have a difficult season that lasts a week, lasts a month. Okay, this one was even longer than a month. This was 40 days. Difficult season. And then when you're tired and feeling weak, guess who shows up? The enemy. Because he is observant. Now let's get some things clear. He can't read our minds. He's not all-knowing. He's not all-powerful. And he's not omnipresent. None of God's characteristics. But he is observant. And so he knows when we're weary. He knows when we're tired. He knows when we're discouraged and frustrated. And then he shows up. It says, the tempter came and said to him, if you are. Ha! See, Jesus knew who he was. But the enemy was still trying to get him to question. Because things looked a little bit different for Jesus. Okay? 30 years ago, he was in heaven. And he was God the Son. Now he's down here on earth with some limitations. And he's the Son of God. So, if you are, I think it is so appropriate and so timely that this Wednesday night we're starting our identity series. If you haven't signed up yet, just come. Okay? Show up, join us. We're going to have some desserts, and we're going to be starting through a series of making sure we understand who we are. So, he said, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. See, the enemy's main tactic is deceit. That's his main tactic. If he can get you to believe a lie about yourself, okay? If you are, then do this. Okay, how about, well, if you're a Christian, you wouldn't have. Or if you really are a son of God, then why did God not? So now, not only is he causing you to try to believe a lie about yourself, he's trying to get you to believe a lie about God. His main tactic. So how did Jesus battle that? What did Jesus do? He spoke the truth. So that's what we have to do. When the enemy comes and tries to get us to believe a lie, our most powerful weapon is the truth. Jesus has told us that he's listening to what the Father's saying. Remember that? He said, I only do what I see the Father doing, and I speak those things I hear the Father saying. So he was listening. And that's what we need to do. Father, what are you saying in this situation? And so Jesus spoke, it is written. The truth is, regardless, enemy, of what you're trying to get me to believe, regardless of what my circumstance presently is, the truth is, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but what do we live on? Where does our strength come from? On every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So Jesus had difficult and challenging days, and we're going to have difficult and challenging days. I don't think there'd be anybody in this room that if I said to you, so if you look over your life, have you ever not had a challenging day? Right? Because Jesus encourages us with this truth from John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Well, that means we're going to be in some situations where we don't feel much peace, where we feel unsettled, where we're not sure how things are going to go. We're not sure how our health is going to turn out. We're not assured how the situation, how the relationship is going to turn out. But he says that he spoke to us so that we could have peace. In the world you will have. Okay? In the world you will have. Not a thing to be afraid of, because he just spoke peace to us, right? In the world you will have tribulation. That means trouble, affliction, and persecution. Nobody's experienced any of those, right? Trouble, affliction, persecution. However, okay, you ready for the however? How about back there in the back? However, take up courage. Take up courage. Be courageous. For I have overcome. I have conquered and am victorious over the world. Come on, that's encouraging words. And then it tells us that Jesus left this difficult time, this desert experience, empowered by the Holy Spirit. So that's an encouragement to us that when we go through a difficult time and we choose to believe the truth, we choose to receive peace from Him, we can come out the other side of that difficult situation empowered by the Holy Spirit. Come on. All right, so we have challenging days, we have celebration days. We have challenging months and years, and we have celebration months and years. We stand in truth, we believe the truth, and we become empowered by the Holy Spirit. So after this difficult season in Jesus' life, because remember we're looking at both this morning, what happened? If you're following along in Matthew 4, we go to verse 23. So Jesus was in this desert, in this dry place. He was hot, he was hungry, he was tired, he was weary. The enemy showed up, the enemy tempted him in three different ways. He spoke the truth to all three situations, left the wilderness empowered by the Holy Spirit. And then in Matthew 4:23, Jesus was going throughout all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. See, he had a message. Because he had met with God. He heard from Father God. When we do that in difficult times, when we hold on, when we persevere, when we make it through, then we have a testimony. We have something we can teach. We have something that we can give as comfort and encouragement and help to someone who presently is going through a rough situation. Right? You're all looking at me like that doesn't make sense. I'll try it again. When God meets you in a difficult time, the strength that you received, the truth that you received, you can now give to someone else to help them through their difficult time. Okay, now I see some heads nodding. Better. So it says that he was teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news. Boy, I'm so glad the church finally got the idea that what we're to be proclaiming is good news and not bad news. For years, the message of the church was, you're going to go to hell and you're going to burn. Well, wasn't that a wonderful message? And then we'd come back to church and we'd say, I don't know why no one's listening to my presentation of the gospel. Well, why don't you start with the good news? God so loved you that he sent his son to die on the cross for you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. He wants you to have an abundant life and an eternal life. Now, he hopes you turn from some of the things you're doing because there are consequences, but look at all the good first, right? So it says that Jesus was teaching and then he was proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. I am so glad the Holy Spirit inspired Matthew to put in the every. Because if it just said Jesus was healing sickness and disease, we'd have a list of the ones that he couldn't. Come on, let's be honest. Okay, Jesus can take care of that one, but this one here, it's a little big for Jesus. Okay, God's powerful enough to take care of this one, but if you mention these words over here, yeah, I'm not too sure. It says every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. So that means not just physical, but mental and emotional. Every kind. Come on. I should be hearing some more amens there. Come on, Virginia. Let's go there. So let's remind ourselves that nothing is impossible with God. And with God, all things are possible. Amen. So We have good days, we have difficult days. So Jesus just had this bad season, this rough season, this challenging season, and then he had this fantastic season where he's teaching, he's proclaiming the good news, and he's healing every sickness and disease. So then there wouldn't be any more challenging times or difficult times, right? Okay. Hate to burst that bubble for you, but Luke 4, verse 16. Just listening for the pages and the pushing the buttons on the phone and that kind of thing there. And he came to Nazareth where he was brought up. So think about that. I think Jesus was probably pretty excited. He's gone back to his hometown. He gets to see his mother, his brothers, his sisters, his neighbors, his classmates, right? So he goes back to his hometown. You would think that would be one of these good days. You would think. Where he had been brought up, and as was his custom. So that means this isn't the first time he did this. He entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. So my understanding is what you did is if you're willing to read, you let the rabbi know when you come in. Hey, I'm willing to do the reading today. Okay? So the pastors here always enjoy that too. I'm willing to do this today. I'm willing to do that today. I'm willing to help here. Come on. And you all did that. I'm willing to help drag stuff from the third floor down three flights of steps out the back door and get rid of 41 years worth of stuff that's been sitting up there. So he goes in and he says, I'm willing to read. And it's like, oh yeah, this is our hometown celebrity, right? So we hear about what you do here and there, so we're going to let you stand up and read. So the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Now, just so happened that that is the day he shows up, and that's what he wants to read. How about that? Huh. And he opens the book and found the place where it is written. Now, how many people could actually say this? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. He basically was saying, I'm the Messiah. He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind. Come on, I've been doing these, right? Isn't that what he's saying? To set free those who are oppressed and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. He closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, sat down, and all the eyes turned to him. Okay, is he going to say any more? Is he done? Was that all that's happening today? They're all listening, and he says, today, this is fulfilled. Hallelujah to us. But they're like, I don't know who you think you are. We know your mom. We know your brothers and sisters. We remember your dad, the carpenter. We went to school with you. What do you mean? So they weren't overjoyed about his message, were they, Pastor Kurt? They didn't say, yay, go Jesus. They didn't do that. Verse 24. He said, truly I say to you, no prophet is welcome in his hometown. In other words, I sort of thought you'd react this way. So that even made them cheerier, right? No. Verse 28. And all the people in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these things. Come on. These were parents of kids he grew up with. These were people he grew up with. Yeah. And they got up and drove him out of the city. Okay, that would have been bad enough, right? It's like, okay, we don't want you here. We don't want you to proclaim yourself as the Messiah. We don't recognize what you're saying. And so you just leave. You've caused enough trouble. That'd been bad enough. They led him to the brow of the cliff, which the city was built on, to throw him off. Come on! They were actually going to kill Jesus. Yay, Jesus is here! He came from our hometown! Now we're ready to throw him off the cliff. Wow. He passed through their midst and went on his way. Okay? God had a plan, God had a mission, and you're not going to change that mission. And he just walked right through. But just think about how difficult that would have been to be rejected by your own hometown, by your friends, and maybe aunts and uncles and cousins and people you grew up with. Sometimes people do have trouble accepting our message because all they can see is our humanity. All they can see is, you know, well, I know that person struggles with this or that person struggles with that. But like Jesus, we have to choose to continue to share the message. Okay, so as Pastor Steph said at the beginning, this is Palm Sunday, right? So we were talking about good days, challenging days, difficult days, celebratory days. We're smack right here in the middle, aren't we, this week? So today is Palm Sunday. We're going to read that. It was a celebratory time. Next Sunday is Easter. He arose, he arose. Yay, we sing his name. He came out of the tomb. Okay, what happened in between here? What happened in between? Yes. So we have some of his most exciting days, and right in the middle, his most difficult day. So we're in between the darkest and the brightest of his days. Let's look at Palm Sunday, Matthew 21. Now, Mr. Jack got rolling at the beginning a little faster than I was ready for, because what we're going to do at the end of my message is I want to hear some testimonies. So I want to give you a couple minutes to start thinking about that. We're talking about we have difficult, challenging days, and we have celebration days. And some of us over the last year or two, Nancy over the last week or two, has gone through some of those difficult times and is heading towards celebration. Maybe we've had some of those. We've had some very challenging, difficult situations, but the Lord's brought us through. I want us to take some time to celebrate together. Okay, it says weep with those who weep and applaud and celebrate with those who are going through happy times and victorious times. So just think, did God help you through a difficult time this last year? We want to hear about it at the end. I've left time for it. So if you're not willing to share those with all of us, we'll be done really early today. All right, Matthew 21. You ready? Matthew 21. So Jesus is on his journey through all these various cities, and now he's approaching Jerusalem. And he comes to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives. Oh, Mount of Olives. We hear about that again, don't we? And Jesus sent two of his disciples ahead, saying, go into the village opposite you. And then, okay, I'm just going to tell that part of the story. So he says, go ahead and into the village, and you're going to see a donkey and a colt, and you're going to untie them. And as you start to walk away, somebody's going to say, what are you doing with that donkey and colt? And you're going to say, well, Jesus needs it. So Jesus made this prior arrangement. That's so interesting. And so they did what Jesus asked them to do. They go into the town. There's a donkey and a colt. They start untying it. The owner comes out. What are you doing? These are for Jesus. Oh, okay. So they take this and they get to where Jesus and the other disciples are. And they do something that you do for a celebrity. They do something that you do for a dignitary. So they put their coats on the donkey so that Jesus has something to sit on. Okay, there's not a saddle, but they put coats on there and their clothes and everything. And the Holy Spirit moves upon the crowd, and the crowd starts rolling out the red carpet. That would what would be what it was like today. Okay? Here comes the queen. Here comes whoever the celebrity is. Okay? And so you roll out the carpet so that they don't have to get their feet dirty. They can walk on the nice clean carpet. So everybody took their coats off. Come on now. Threw them down on the path. cut palm branches off of trees and threw them down. And once Jesus saw that the path was all in place to ride into Jerusalem, that's where we're going to pick up the story. And Jesus said to them, "This is taking place so that you will understand that this prophecy has been fulfilled. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." And the crowd went ahead of him, and they shouted out, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." So Hosanna literally means, "I pray, save us." So what they were yelling out is, "We recognize you are the one who's come to save us." Now, what they thought they were getting saved from is different than what God sent Jesus to save them from. They thought they were getting saved from the Romans, and Jesus came to save them for eternal life, not just to be free from the Romans. And so they're saying, "We recognize and we celebrate the fact that you are the Messiah." How interesting, right? Because none of the religious rulers, except maybe Nicodemus, recognized him as the Messiah, but the people did. And so they're yelling out, "Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And he entered Jerusalem, and all the city, come on, the whole city was stirred up. What's going on? What's all this shouting? Why the red carpet? Who is this important person coming? And they said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth." And Jesus entered the temple and drove out those who were buying and selling in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, "My house." Ah, see, now he's saying, "I am God the Son. I'm the Messiah," is what the crowd said. And he's saying, "Yeah, and I'm God the Son, because this is my house. My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a robber's den." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Come on. What a celebration day that was, right? And then we know in a few days, the people in the crowd were yelling, "Crucify him." And we know that his disciples, some of them, turned away from him, rejected him, ran away and left him. We even know that one of his followers that walked with him for 3 years and ate with him and slept with him and traveled with him betrayed him. Come on. And you talk about difficult times, let alone what was going on physically. So he had all of these mental and emotional things. And then when he gets to the garden, he says, "Father, I know this is the reason you sent me, but if there's another way to do this, you know, let me know any other way that we can do this. But not what I want to do, but what you want to do. And if this is the only way for you to redeem mankind, this is the only way for me to be their Savior, then so be it." Come on. So then you know the trial, the whipping, the beating, the crown of thorns. Pastor Kurt, I think you made that, didn't you? No? For a youth group thing? I mean, that's been up in the attic for about 15 years. And remember, we used it one time, we hung stuff on it? Yeah, so that's a nasty-looking crown of thorns right there. Jammed it on his head, beat him, mocked him. You know, if you're really who you say you are, let God send angels. And then nailed to the cross. The worst possible death of the time. Come on, the electric chair would have been much easier and simpler. Or put you in a room, turn the gas on, and in 3 minutes you're gone. Oh no, this had to be all day in front of everybody. and your mother come to visit you? Can't imagine. Right? But then Easter. Yay! So that's next week. So come next week to hear Pastor Van. He'll have us all celebrating Easter, okay? All right. So what we want to do in closing is we want to share some testimonies. We want to share that, yes, we went through some difficult times, but we hung on to Jesus. We hung on to the truth. We walked through this difficult season with Him and came out the other side, or are coming out the other side. Yeah, I had an exciting time a couple weeks ago. I had some people in my office and we were talking, and we discovered that this person, even though he had grown up in a church and knew God, he hadn't actually yet prayed to accept Christ. And so I got to say, well, do you want to do that? And that person said yes. So that was a wonderful time. I haven't done that for a little while. It was like, okay, I still remember how to do this. Yeah, we had that in a Sozo session one time, which is our inner healing ministry. And the man sat down and the Spirit said to me, it was Jesus said to me, I want to meet Him. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's why we're gathered today, for you to encounter these people. He's like, no, I want to meet Him for the first time. And so I said to this guy, you know, what's your church background? Where'd you grow up? Did you ever pray to turn your life over to Jesus? Because He wants to actually meet you. He said, no, I guess I haven't. And so he got to meet Jesus. So we want to keep sharing the good news, because, hey, we're here in the church sharing. We've gone through some difficult times. Maybe we're still in some difficult times. But how about the people out in the world that have no hope? And it says, be ready to give an account of the hope within you. Well, church, you just did that this morning. I had this situation. God gave me hope and walked me through the other side of the situation. So now, not only do you have good news to share, but you have a testimony to join with it. Amen? And that's powerful. Because you can say, it says in the Word, and it happened to me. Right? All right, let's stand. Looking forward to meeting with all of you next week to celebrate the King coming back to life.